I have to have it on the right page.
Which thin book is this?
Okay. Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. As I mentioned, next week there's no shiur as I'm away. So you'll have to gather together to do chazara. We are on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, about, I don't know, 10 lines down. The first word on the line is Ve'ema Rosh Hashanah Iyar. So you remember that Gemara, which we learned last week? No, last week was Pesach?
2 weeks ago.
Pesach was last week?
Yes.
It seems so long ago. It's 2 weeks ago, but then I also mentioned it by the Shabbos HaGadol. Right. So you heard it twice.
Right, so two opportunities to have no forgotten.
Me too.
This question of Rosh Hashanah Malachim being Nisan, why Nisan? Again, unlike the other Rosh Hashanah, which somehow correspond to something in the natural order, Rosh Hashanah Malachim is a completely arbitrary date. Right?
Nisan is beginning of the year for many things.
Well, right. Written in the Torah. But so is Tishrei.
But written in the Torah, the and count, so is that counting from Nisan?
No, that's for the purposes of the numbering of the months.
Right,
but the Rosh Hashanah for the trees is Tu Bishvat, and the Rosh Hashanah for the Shanim is Tishrei, and etc. So it's a plausible question. Why Dafka Nisan? So the Gemara makes a hekesh to the Arba Kosos in between.
Yeah. Wow.
To Yitziat Mitzrayim.
Well, it's a hekesh. In other words, what you said is that we became a people. So we became a people.
No, that was my drusha. That was a nice drusha, and I'm pleased that you remember it. But no, in other words, there's a posuk in Malachim which gives a certain count for when Shlomo HaMelech made Beis HaMikdash, right? And it counts the years of his reign, and it counts the years since Yitziat Mitzrayim. So the Gemara says, you see that the years of the reign of the king are connected somehow to Yitziat Mitzrayim. So we start from Nisan. Mm-hmm. Now, why Nisan? Because Nisan happens to be the month that we left Mitzrayim, except we didn't leave Mitzrayim on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. It's interesting that there is no Havamina in the Gemara that Rosh Hashanah LeMelachim should be when? Pesach, the 15th. Right? Ah, so you want to say, Pseida, you don't start months in the middle of the month. Except what? Tu Bishvat, right? There is precedent. So it's fascinating that the Gemara does not, I mean, I might have anticipated that the Gemara asks that question.
Yeah.
Right, but the Gemara doesn't ask that question. So the Gemara does ask, well, what? Why not Iyar? Why Iyar? In other words, since the date is in the middle of the month, so maybe you have to round off. So what do we do? We end up rounding
up
back, right, to Rosh Chodesh Nisan. But we could have just as easily rounded
forward.
So Gemara says, so maybe it's these are all the, you know, it's that way that the Gemara has of like entertaining a Havamina and quickly dismissing it. Mm-hmm. Right? You remember in Sukkah, like there's a whole long list of, you know, so the Torah says, L'kachtem lechem b'yom rishon pre-Eitz Hadar. Now, it might have been better if the Torah would have given us the precise Latin name of that species of yellow citrus fruit. Right? Or it might have been more convenient if the Torah used a word like etrog, which happens to be the word that we use, so that nobody could say, how do you know this is it? Pre-Eitz Hadar is it's a rather vague identification. So for all of the meaning...
Wouldn't help.
Why?
There's a lot of words in the Torah that, let's say, when they brought the presence, the power of botnim.
Yeah. Botnim. Okay, Beseder, but in other words, if the Torah had said, "Ukachem lachem biyom rishon etrog," and the fruit that we actually take is an etrog, so it would have taken until the haskalah for someone to say, "Is the etrog the word etrog for that fruit today? Is it the same etrog as the Torah?" Right? But it would have minimized the question, as opposed to having an extremely vague term, pre-Eitz Hadar, which you know could be. Lots of other oranges are also pretty, right? So, and to have to say, no, well, we have this tradition, it's a Torah Shabbat Peh, da da da. So the Gemara says, no, Priya Tzadar means etrog, and it explains why it's etrog. But then the Gemara says, well, how do you know it's not this fruit? How do you know it's not that fruit? And kapot tamarim, how do you know it's not this part of the leaf and that part of the branch? Right? Arvinach is a little clearer, but...
It's not clear. I mean, if you go around the world, I think you find many, many different things are used for Arvei Nachal. They're not all...
Well, there are different zanim of Arvei Nachal. But then some of them are kosher and some of them are posel. And anaf etz avot, that's even more obscure. A thickly, a thick bough, a thickly leafed bough. Right, what could that be? Are you sure it's myrtles? Right, so but the point is that it's so the Gemara for each of the medium the Gemara lists.
Because kapot marim, nobody asks a question, right?
Well, so it is kapot marim is a little clearer identification. Right, it's obviously not something from an apple tree,
right.
But what is a kaf? Which part is the kaf? Right. So kapot marim and Arvei Nachal are a little clearer. Priyetz Hadar and Anafetz Avot are certainly more obscure. But in all cases, the Gemara asks. How do you know? Maybe it's this, maybe it's that, maybe it's the other thing, and it knocks off each of these havaminas one by one to explain how you know it can't be this, it can't be the other thing, it can't be this part of the plant, right? So it's almost as if like the Gemara is not like you know what a havamina is, right? Mm-hmm. A havamina is like a very serious hypothesis. It has to make sense. There has to be some logic to it. It happens not to be true. It happens not to be true for this reason or for that reason. But here, in the example that I bring from Sukkah, and the examples here, how do you know it's not Iyar? How do you know it's not Sivan? How do you know it's not Tammuz? How do you know it's not, right? Is almost as if, you know, we're just very quickly dismissing it because we have this very solid limud that it's Nisan.
Right.
I never understood this about the Gemara. I don't know if there is like a method or just like sometimes it's, sometimes they do this and sometimes they don't. I'm trying to think. I don't remember now what the Gemara says about tefillin, right? Like I don't know. Does the Gemara there ask, how do we know that they're black? How do we know that they're
square? So that's a little easier because it's halacha
moshe misinai. So I mean, you could always say halacha moshe misinai.
Yeah, but we don't know. And there has to be a halacha moshe misinai is a tradition that the word totafot means these things that we all put on this morning.
Yeah, but we find
but. One of the traditions of Halacha L'Moshe Misinai is that we know what the Halachot L'Moshe Misinai are. That is that you can't just say, well, every drasha is a Halacha L'Moshe Misinai.
I know that I can't just say that. But
no, but the Gemara understands that it's not
that clear in the Gemara because sometimes you find like there's this argument
but also
Gemara
here,
where they go back and forth and they go, but I use that word. And then at the very, very, very end, you have Halacha L'Moshe
Misinai. Except here, the din of Rosh Hashanah L'Malachim can't be Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Why?
No,
right. It didn't exist then. It didn't have kings.
Well, because it's not... No, the Torah itself is aware of the institution of kings.
Okay.
Because it's a halacha de Rabbanan. You can't have a halacha de Rabbanan. It's a halacha de Moshe Messina.
Right.
So the Gemara says, Vayomer Rosh Hashanah Iyar. Maybe the Rosh Hashanah for the Malachim is Iyar. Lo salke datre. Don't think that. Dichtiv ayhi b'chodesh harishon b'shana hashenit be'echad l'chodesh hukam ha'mishkan. Right? These answers are also somewhat problematic because it answers you need an outside piece of information. When the Mishkan was erected, it was b'chodesh harishon b'shana hashenit. So you have to know that the Mishkan was erected in Nisan. So here you have a posuk that identifies that Nisan is called the chodesh harishon. Right?
Why didn't we use this before instead of the Hekesh from Shlomo?
Because it's not... Why? Why is the Hekesh from Shlomo stronger?
Because that's talking about Malachim.
That's talking about Malachim. Here it's talking about the Mishkan. So, even Laman Da'amar, that Rosh Hashanah L'Malachim is in Tammuz. I mean, there is no Man Da'amar. Even according to the Havamina, that Rosh Hashanah L'Malachim is in Tammuz. Everyone understands that when you date your checks, the first month is Nisan. Right? So it's not such a good answer. Right?
Yeah, I'm sorry. So it's not a good answer at all because we know we have Arba Rosh Hashanah.
Right. So
maybe there's Chamesh.
V'chtiv v'ayhi b'shana ha'shenit b'chodesh ha'sheni na'aleh ha'anan me'al mishkan ha'edut. And this, here's another one that says in the chodesh ha'sheni, which is Iyar, midikai ben Nisan v'kare le'shana ha'shenit v'kai be'Iyar v'kare le'shana shnia. Mechlal de Rosh Hashanah lav Iyar. Right? Since the second year, we talk about the first month of the second year is Nisan. And the second month of the second year is Iyar. So that's a pretty good proof that Rosh Hashanah Lemlachim is not Nisan. Ve'em Rosh Hashanah Sivan lo sal kedat chedichi b'chodesh ha'shlishi letzeit b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim ve'em ita b'chodesh ha'shlishi b'shana ha'shenit letzeit v'chule v'boi lei ve'em ha'tamuz. And it's almost as if you think like this Gemara, well, I don't want to say you can't take it seriously, but so maybe it's Tammuz ve'em ha'av ve'em ha'adar. As the Gemara itself says, die, right? Enough already, right? Why didn't you name all the months of the year? Right? It's not. It's Nisan. Omer Rabbi Elazar, Mihocha, V'yachel livnot b'chodesh, this is in Divrei Hayamim, V'yachel livnot b'chodesh ha'sheni, b'sheni b'shabbat, arba, b'shnat arba l'malchuto, in the fourth year of Israel, my sheni. Right? And as what's the part? The pasuk is, V'yachel livnot b'chodesh ha'sheni, Besheni, b'shnat arba lemalchuto, right? In the second month, on the second, in the fourth year of the reign. So there's like this little redundancy. What's that second reference to second?
The second day.
What do you mean the second day? Like the second day of the month. The second day of Iyar?
Yeah.
So maybe. So my sheni. So lav sheni liyarech, it's not the second day of the month. Shemonim bo lemalchuto. Matkif lo ravina. No, lav sheni liyarech, shemonim bo lemalchuto. Matkif lo ravina. Ve'ema sheni b'chodesh. Maybe it's the second day of the month. Imkain.
Is that different than sheni liyarech?
So it's because it says this is imkain sheni b'chodesh behed huktiv ve'ika ve'ema b'sheni b'shabbos. So maybe saying it was telling you it was Monday. So here's something interesting that I'd never considered before, since I saw this Gemara last and had forgotten about it. Isn't that an amazing thing? You can learn something, and then you can learn it again, and okay. as if you never saw it.
It's a bracha. Get to learn. Over.
I guess. Hada d'lo eshkachan sheni b'shabbat. There's nowhere in the Torah that specifies the day of the week, except for Shabbat itself.
Right.
No. So yeah. Okay. Masa Breshit, I guess, obviously. But like in none of the times where it tells you, like in the Midbar, or in Malachim, or in Shmuel, where it tells you like
the
date,
but not the day of the week.
It doesn't tell you the day of the week.
Well, maybe this is the exception. Maybe this is the exception.
You can probably easily figure out what day of the week it was. You don't have to tell.
So the Gemara says, "V'od makish sheni batra l'sheni kama, ma sheni kama chodesh, af sheni batra chodesh." This is just telling you the second month, right? It's like a weird. The Gemara, the Chazal read the pasuk to say it's telling you in the second month, mamish the second month.
Mamish.
It's just to add emphasis.
I guess now the Gemara says Tani Kavasid Reb Yochanan. Then now here's a brisa. Now the brisa basically just recaps everything that the Gemara had kind of learned out, which makes you wonder if Reb Yochanan taught it, he must have been unaware of the brisa. But the Brisa says, so it's given telegraphed. How do you know that the year, the reign of the king is only from Nisan? Mm-hmm. Al pi Hashem v'gomer v'chtiv ha'i b'arba'im shana b'ashtei asar l'chodesh v'chtiv achar ha'kotev et ha'sichon. It's kind of like the cliff notes to the whole Gemara from the last Amud. So in other words, there's a brisa that supports this position that Rosh Hashanah l'Melachim is from Nisan based upon the limud from Yitziat Mitzrayim. So now you see 1, 2, 3, or 5 lines from the bottom. Omer of Chista. Lo shanu. So this halacha about the halacha about Malchei, about Rosh Hashanah l'Melachim, which, oh, that was fabulous, by the way, what you sent
with the Japanese emperor
today tonight? It was today. Yeah,
tomorrow,
he resigned. No, he resigned today, and the sun becomes
the coronation, right?
So they'll have to reset all the clocks.
It's worse than that, but yeah, like all the official government documents and checks and banks, like, have to be stamped with one of the new era. And it's easy on paper, but computer programs, you know, it's like it's the Y2K bug all over again. But you all saw that article? Japan has a new emperor starting tomorrow. And they count Lam Lachim, and it happens to be that it's going to be not Nisan, but the end of Nisan. So tomorrow is the first year of the new era.
Wow. So everything goes back to one.
It goes back to one.
Wow. They don't use the
They use that also, but like for official government things, they have to use, you know, like kind of like in Israel, they have two systems. So like all the computer programmers are.
Bibi becomes prime minister.
they're working on that law.
It wouldn't matter if it did, since it does that over and over again.
If I can go back for a sec, I missed something. So Ravina, was it Ravina? And Ravina says, oh wait, here's a better proof. So he says, Bachodesh Hasheni. B'chodesh Hasheni.
No, it's B'chodesh Hasheni. It says Ve'ema Sheni B'chodesh.
No, but I it seemed like his. He was saying, look, it's the second month of the year, so therefore it's that was his proof. And then the Gemara gets sidetracked, asking what the word Sheni means here.
Right. It entertains all the possibility of what this extraneous, this seemingly extraneous word Sheni means.
But either way, it says it's the second month of the year.
Right.
So he's saying that this is a simpler proof that it's Nisan, right?
Right. Because this thing that happened in Iyar was in
right.
Shin, right.
But then the whole discussion about the Sheni has nothing to do with the year.
Right. Yeah. So Omer of Chizda, Lo Shanu Ela L'Malchei Yisrael. This whole thing about the Rosh Hashanah L'Malchim is only talking about Malchei Yisrael. But not when we lived where?
In Chutzlaretz.
In Bavel. Right, aval amalchei umot ha'olam mitishrei maninan.
You know, I meant to look this up. I just reminded myself. In the tables, I forget if I discussed this when I brought that book, but the Babylonians and the Greek astronomers counted by Babylonian kings.
Ah.
So I don't remember.
So we have a little bit of a problem here, and here we need a drop of background. During the Persian Empire, in other words, Bavel, we called Bavel, was conquered by the Persians. Chazal seemed to know about 4 kings in this period. The dating that Chazal have for, if you look particularly in Divrei Hayamim or in Ezra and Nehemiah, the dating for how many years this king reigned, how many years that king reigned. Yeah, you know, this last week, Tom enlightened our eyes with all of the trying to figure out the age of the universe based upon doing the Chumash math, right? Because if so-and-so begat so-and-so in this age, and then you count up all the years, you can figure it out and count backwards to more or less the year 5779. Forgetting what happened in year 1, year 0. But, you know, if you round it off, that's how the math works out. But when it comes to later periods, like the period around Galut, Bavel, and Shivat Zion. So we actually have a historical record independent of having to just add things up based upon the psukim. So Chazal's accounting does not seem to completely square with what historians know. There's 160 something years unaccounted for. And it could be that there are also kings that are unaccounted for. But that's unimportant for us, because we're learning the Gemara, so we only need to know what Chazal thought at the moment. I mean, there's a lot of ink that's been spilled on this topic, and if you know, do you have the Google machine at home?
Google machine?
Yeah.
I mean, I have Google.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So you can you know, like, just
on my phone too. But anyway, yeah.
Oh, you can even look these things up. So it's not true what the Rabbonim say, that the phones are usher, because you're going to use it to learn Torah.
No, but it's happy courses.
Ah, you're going to use it to look up happy courses.
It says in the Seder Olam.
Yeah, it's true. So better not to look at it. So anyway, you can look at, there's no end of articles that try to, you know, do this kind of accounting.
Missing Persian years.
The missing Persian years. I bet if you were to Google that phrase exactly, you would find exactly what you're looking for. So Bavel was conquered by the Persians until when? What happens to the Persians?
Because the Greeks.
The Greeks. Alexander. Right? Alexander the Great comes and conquers Persia from the
132.
From the Persians.
Until the Romans came.
So during the Persian period, according to Chazal, there were four kings. Right? This is in the period of the Persian exile. This is of the Babylonian exile. This is the period leading up to Shivat Zion, the building of Bayit Sheni. It's all described in Ezra Nehemiah and in Daniel and elsewhere. The first king is Darius. Now, there was more than one Darius. Right? This might be what's called in the
according to Chazal, there's just one.
Well, no, they don't say there's only one. They say there's Daryavish.
They say there's a Daryavish, and he ruled from this year to this year.
Yes, but they don't. That wouldn't negate the fact that he might have been what the historians called Daryavish the Hasheni.
No.
Right? Now, it's like we say. You say, who's the Queen of England? So say Elizabeth. Right? So I'm not machish that there was a different Elizabeth in the 16th century. Right? So Daryavish, who historians called Daryavish the Second. Daryavish was the conqueror of Babel, and the next king is Koresh, Cyrus, who's also known as
Cyrus the Great.
I was going to say Donald Trump.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Cyrus the Great.
Oh,
right. So in if you look in Sefer Ezra, b'shnat achat leKoresh Melech Paras lechlo dvar Hashem mipi Yirmiyahu. Heir Hashem et ruach Koresh Melech Paras v'aver kol b'chol malchuto v'gam b'mechtav le'mor. What does he say? It's the first pasuk of Ezra.
Go back to Tzio.
Im tirtzu en zo agada. That's what Koresh said. Right? You can go back to Eretz Yisrael. Right? In the first year, right? B'shana achat leKoresh melech Paras. Right? The Spirit of God moves him, and he issues Hatzarat, not Balfour, but Hatzarat Koresh. We have it. There's a record of it. Here's a picture of it.
Yeah. That whole...
Where is the actual one?
There's a cylinder that there are like various copies. I don't
know, but where's the this is the cylinder, but it's flattened out.
Sent a whole TED talk.
I know that I've seen one in the Israel.
As they wrote, it looks like a vase, right? And if you go to, they have a, it's a replica in the Israel Museum, and in if you go to Migdal David, they also have a replica of Hatzarat Koresh, right? But where's the actual?
I think there's several copies.
The one in the Israel Museum is an actual...
I thought we had an actual one, but I...
Yecholiot. So Koresh, in his first year, tells the Jews they can go back to Eretz Yisrael, and they begin to rebuild Bayit Sheni, and who is the Jewish figure that leads them? Well, who's the Jew? Zerubbabel. You know the Zerachov Zerubbabel?
Yeah.
Right. Next to Ezra.
Then what happens is those uppity Yidden draw the ire of the natives, who start to complain about what they're doing. And the work on Bayit Sheni is stopped. This is Perek Dalid of Sefer Ezra. And there's someone by the name of Artaxasta. Now, according to Chazal, Artaxasta is not the name of a different king. Artaxasta is the title, the Persian title for king. Like Paro in Egyptian means king.
Like a generic name.
It's a generic name for the king. So there's a machlokis. Whether it was Koresh himself, Koresh who allowed them to go back and start rebuilding, and then he gets complaints, so he tells them they have to stop, or if it's Achashverosh. Rashi says that it's Koresh who let them go back and start rebuilding and then told them they have to stop. And Ibn Ezra says that the stop order was given by Achashverosh. But the problem is the Pasuk just says Artaxasta, which, what's that called in English? What's Artaxasta in English? Xerxes?
Oh, Xerxes. In English translated from the Greek, Xerxes, spelled with an X.
And how is it pronounced? Xerxes? I always said Xerxes. Xerxes? The X is a Y?
That's how I remember it. But
but Chazal understood that Artaxasta is a name, means the king. So then the next king is Achashverosh, who we all know from Purim, and then after him comes Daryavish. Now, according to some Chazal, Daryavish is
a different one.
Who is Daryavish according to the Midrash?
Oh, he's
the son of
Esther. Oh, Esther, right.
That's not a unanimous opinion. Right. The Gemara will shortly get into this, because there's a nafkamina whether or not Daryavesh is Jewish or not.
Right.
What's the nafkamina?
If he's Esther's son, then he'd be Jewish.
No, in other words, you have to think a little Talmudically. What's the nafkamina if Ivanka's Jewish or not?
He would be a Jewish king, and we have to date something from him.
Right? In other words, this is so Talmudic. Right? As here it is. The ruler of all of civilization, right? So maybe he's a Jew, maybe he's not a Jew, right? So like what? Lamai nafkamina. Now this is a perfect example.
But why would you want to cast? Because he's not a king of Israel per se.
Say so. In other words,
he is a king of Israel.
No, but he's more than that. He's
so in other words, in other words, more is better. In other words, it's
the emperor of the world.
It's what's that expression? It's a hafuch al hafuch. Right? In other words, like whether or not Daryavish is Jewish or not, so this is like significant. Like, you know, like all of those, every October there's that thing, was Columbus Jewish? Or was, so there's that website, Jew or Not Jew, right? Where you can look up everybody and it tells you, like, it'll give you the psak. Right, this person, like, they, you know that website? I didn't make this up. Right? Every famous actor and every famous philosopher, right? This person, that person, is Jewish. Right? They give you a thumbs up and thumbs down. Part Jew.
Trump's Jewish because he's got Jewish grandkids, right?
I don't think so. So Daryavish, like whether or not Daryavish is Jewish or not, like, this is, like, significant.
Yeah.
But for Chazal, it shows it's how the historical its significance is in the halachic context by how do I date the shtar, right? Because if he's Jewish, I'm going to date it from Nisan, and if he's a goy, I'm going to date it from Tishrei. But even if he was really Esther's son, so halachically he's Jewish, is the din that we date the Rosh Hashanah Lamalachim for a Jew only if he's like David or Shlomo, right? A Melech, be Yisrael, or is it enough? When we say Melech Yisrael, do we mean a king of the Jews, or a king who happens to be Jewish? Right. You know, like this guy, this comedian who just became president of Ukraine, right? So, like, could you imagine Khmelnytsky is spinning in his grave? You know Khmelnytsky?
Well, yeah.
You heard of Hitler?
Yeah.
Right behind Hitler on the list is Khmelnytsky.
If Hitler wasn't far behind.
No, Hitler was ahead.
No, I mean in numbers.
No.
They say 300,000.
300,000 is a long cry from 6 million.
No, it's not a long cry from Khmelnytsky. Except in proportions.
Hitler has got 6 million.
Right. Khmelnytsky has.
Khmelnytsky, the historians debate exactly what the extent of the Tachvatat with the pogrom in 1648, 1649. In Eastern Europe, in what today is mostly Ukraine, central and Western Ukraine. Khmelnytsky, Bogdan Khmelnytsky, he was that. It had nothing to do. It was always one of these cases, like the Crusades, it had nothing at all to do with the Jews. Right? But when the Goyim were busy fighting against each other, like, what did those Crusaders have to? They had to schlep all the way from England and from France all the way to Palestina to go kill infidels. Along the way, there were so many infidels with yarmulkes on, they could get them without having to schlep. So they say, so these pogroms in 1648 and 1649, the Gzeirot Tachvatat they're called, decimated Eastern European Jewry. But it's a machlokas amongst the historians exactly how many communities were...
In terms of a percentage, it was a huge percentage.
Oh, but yes, correct. I'm not trying to let Bogdan off the hook. But you go to Kiev
today,
in the main square, there's this huge statue of Khmelnytsky on horseback.
Where the new president of the Ukraine is undoubtedly
going to have to... He's the Ukrainian national... He's like the George Washington of Ukraine. On the money, there's this picture of Khmelnytsky, right? So now the president is Jerry Seinfeld, whoever he is.
No, given that the president is a comedian, he may make a joke about it, but we'll see.
So for Chazal, the question is...
The relevance to our question of...
How do I date my shtar?
Right.
Right? The only importance whether Dayovish is Jewish or not has to do with how do you date the shtar... from Nisan or from Tishrei?
Well, you know, since you did your homework on Ezra and Nehemiah, you remind me, you know, Yitzhak Karel, he changed his name from
Rosenberg.
Uh-huh.
You know?
The name's familiar.
I guess he lives here in the Dekel. He used to teach that. They moved. He used to live in the Dekel. He taught at Mechala. So he spent years writing this paper about the Persian chronology.
Uh-huh.
And you're just reminding me of some of the details. I helped him out on some of the issues because it turns out when you say modern scholars, you know, there's a missing 107 years, it turns out that, like, the modern scholars are based on Babylonian astronomy. Because, you know, we have, like, lots of records that says, okay, there was Xerxes the First and Xerxes the Second, and he ruled this many years, whatever. But you still don't know what year it was when the first guy ruled. So, and you know, and you find, you know, Egyptian king lists, and you have to somehow synchronize them. And, like, the best way that they found to synchronize them is using solar eclipses. Because that's, like, something that happens. It's a rare event, and astronomers today know exactly when it happened and know in which country it was.
Would a solar eclipse in Egypt have been visible in Babel?
No, but they just have to, like, find one unique solar... Or they need to find one or more unique solar eclipses somewhere where they kept records, and it says, the solar eclipse happened in the seventh year.
Oh, so we know...
Ahasuerus in the month of Nisan on the...
So we know when that was.
So it turns out that there are very few original documents because there's, like, a lot of copies and there's a lot of scribal errors. So that it's not quite a house of cards, but Harel.
Wait, so how many times in ancient records can we lock in a solid date based upon? Because we can calculate backwards every solar eclipse, right?
So, and actually, the Babylonians did also, because it's hard to, well, if you don't know, it's hard to believe the Babylonians, they had astronomers that went out every night and wrote down what they saw.
Right.
So they say, oh, you know, tonight, you know, the moon rose near Mars, and it was windy, and a bushel of grain cost so-and-so, and a bushel of barley cost so-and-so. And then sometimes it says, you know, there was...
Halley's Comet.
Once in a while it says, eclipse of the moon was not seen, because they were on the wrong side of the Earth. But they knew from calculations...
That somewhere on...
That there was an eclipse.
There should have been an eclipse.
Right. So... But to make a long story short, there's a couple of like clear documents that, that make the dating pretty clear. And one of the things that Yitzhak Harel brings down in his paper is that we have...
Where is this paper?
It's about to be published. Now that you remind me, I'll tell you about it. But
Hebrew and English?
In Hebrew. Uh-huh. One of the proofs that he brings is he found Jewish documents from Tikvat Beit Sheni in, what's it called, Nov in Egypt?
Uh-huh.
There was a Jewish community in southern Egypt. They were mercenaries, and they like had their own temple. They sent Nechtavim to Yerushalayim because they wanted to build their own. I forget what it was. They asked some questions with the Kohanim, and they dated their documents according to the Ptolemaic kings and according to the Eretz Yisrael calendar.
So there's another point where you can synchronize.
But it's probably, I'd have to like go back and look now to see what it said about the king.
But when you say the Eretz Yisrael calendar, what calendar was that?
The lunar.
It was the regular Nisan Yer Sivan Tammuz.
No, but according to what years?
So I don't remember. What was significant in the paper was what month it was and when Rosh Chodesh was.
I see.
So I wasn't paying attention then. But it specifies in there the Egyptian month and the Judean month.
Uh-huh.
So I have to go back and see if it mentioned, you know, the king or the year or what it was using then for the first month.
And calculating astronomical events backwards, that's fairly simple. The computer can just punch anything out.
Nowadays it's fairly simple, but since you asked, there is one unknown, which is, you might have heard once in a while, the Earth is actually slowing down very slowly.
Right.
That's why once in a while there's like a leap second. And like it depends on earthquakes.
Yeah, but over 3,000 years, how much could that be off by a day?
Over 3,000 years, it could be off by a few hours.
Right.
And we're not sure, like if it's, you know, a consistent slowdown or if it's speeded up in the middle.
But at most, you're talking about a deviance of one day.
Nahon. But still, when you're trying to figure out like a unique event, and you want to know, like, you know, was there an eclipse visible in the afternoon in Bavel at this day or not? You know, it could be a. But it could be yes or no, because if it was 5 hours earlier, the sun didn't rise yet. So there's like some question about what that is. But pachot yeter, it's there.
Okay. Anyway, so then just three other facts that you need for the continuation of the Gemara. Bayit Sheni was completed on Gimel Adar in the sixth year of Daryavish's reign. That's what the Sefer Ezra says. That's Ezra Perek Vav. And then it was Gimel Iyar. I'm sorry, Gimel Adar. Gimel Adar of the sixth year of Daryavesh. And then a month and a bit later, they bring the Korban Pesach, meaning it's the first Pesach. In Bayit Sheni, and it's the first time they bring the Korban Pesach since Churban Bayit Rishon.
It's been the seventh year of Israel.
So, well, it depends on when you. That's exactly the question that I was going to get into. But right. But presumably, it should be the if it starts if we're going to count him. If we're going to count him from Nisan, like a Jew, so then it's the seventh year. If we're going to count it from Tishrei, then it's still the
seventh.
Still the sixth year. Ezra shows up, and Zerubbabel leads the Jews back. Zerubbabel leads the Jews back. Ezra shows up in Yerushalayim in Av, in Chodesh Av, of the seventh year of
Zerubbabel's
Artaxerxes. Right, this same Artaxerxes. Now, obviously, this Artaxerxes can't be the same Artaxerxes as the previous Artaxerxes who was there in between Koresh and Achashverosh.
Because that was the 10th year, and this is the 7th year.
No, because there's been two kings in between. right? So, and it's either it's a different Artakshasta, okay, or again, it's a use of Artakshasta to mean
a generic name for king.
The king, which could be still Daryavish, right? And as that's what Argamara on Daf Beis on the next Daf is going to say, this Artakshasta is Daryavish, meaning like a year after Bayit Sheni is inaugurated, or a half a year after Bayit Sheni is inaugurated, depending upon when you change the year. So then Ezra shows up to lead and inspire the people, and Nehemiah shows up in the 20th year of Artaxasta. And Nehemiah came to do what? What was Nehemiah's main?
To build walls.
To repair the walls, to build the walls around. Okay. Now, the Gemara says, go back to the Gemara. So go back. Omer Reb Chisda, lo shanu ela l'malchei Yisrael, aval malchei umot ha'olam, mitishrei manina. Shene emar, divrei Nechemia ben Chaklia, vayhi b'chodesh kislev, shnat esrim v'chulei. So here you have a pasuk with Nehemiah talking about something in the 20th year. V'chtiv vayhi b'chodesh Nisan shnat esrim l'artachshasta v'gomir. So you have these two psukim, right? The first pasuk says Nisan of the 20th year, and then a later pasuk says
Nisan of the 10th year.
The first pasuk is Nehemiah.
Yeah, no, they're both Nehemiah. The first pasuk says Nehemiah in Kislev of the 20th year. And then you have a later pasuk that says Nisan of the 20th year. So what does that sound like?
Like the calendar's going backwards? I don't get it.
Why?
Because first he said Kislev of the 20th year, and then he said
Nisan
of the 20th year.
Yeah, so what does that sound like? That Nisan, the Nisan which follows Kislev, is still the same calendar year, which means what? When do we change over the years? In a world of Daryavesh, when do we change over the years?
Oh, Tishrei.
In Tishrei. Right? Because if Nisan was Rosh Hashanah l'malchei umot ha'olam,
if it would have been the next year. It would have been the 21st.
It would have been the 21st year. Right? Because how do you know that Rosh Chodesh Nisan is only for Jews and not for Malchei Umot Olam? Because right? You want to talk about Malchei Umot Olam, where do you go? You go to Ezra and Nehemiah. Because there are no Jewish kings in this book. All of the kings are Persian kings. But it's also full of dates. Right, you know, there's certain books where you don't have any dating. There's no like internal evidence when something took place, but here it's full of dates and it's full of Persian kings. Michlal de Rosh Hashanah lav nisanhu. From this we can infer that Rosh Hashanah l'malchei umot olam is not in Nisan. Bishlama hech mifarish de la'achat artachshasta. In other words, but what's the problem? There's two psukim here. Look at the two psukim. The first pasuk says, "Divrei Nehemiah ben Chakalia vayi b'chodesh kislev shnat esrim." Shnat esrim of what?
The gomer.
Well, if you look up the pasuk, right? Well, let's look up the pasuk. What's the difference between Sefer Ezra and Sefer Nehemiah?
Did they just cut the scroll in half, or it was too big?
No, well, that's a good guess. No, it's actually not so big. Ezra Nehemiah is all one book, but it's unique in Sifrei Tanakh that the nickname for the book is the first 10 chapters focus on the leadership of Ezra, and the second 13 chapters deal with the leadership of Nehemiah. So they each get title over that section of the book, and we restart the count. I mean, the chapter numbers are certainly much later and are not of Jewish origin, right? But in the standard referencing, So in the middle of the book, we hit the reset button and start chapter one again, and this is chapter one of Nehemiah. But
so when we count books, of Tanakh, Ezra and
Nehemiah, Ezra and Nehemiah are one book.
Right.
Yeah? And if it was written in a scroll, it would be written in one scroll. So Nehemiah, Divrei Nehemiah ben Hakalia, Vahi Bechodesh Kislev Shnat Esrim, Vani Haiti Beshushana Bira. The Shnat Esrim of what? Right? The 20th year of his high school graduation, the 20th year, he was 20 years old, right? Presumably we're talking about...
Of the king.
Of the king, but it doesn't specify that. Right? So we have these two psukim. From the two psukim we learn out Kislev of the 20th year and Nisan of the 20th year, mashma that Nisan is not Rosh Hashanah Malachim. But how do you know that we're talking about it? Why that only works if we're comparing apples and apples. But the first 20th year, right?
It's a different king.
Right, in other words, like if I tell you, now in Chodesh Nisan of the 50th year, and in Av, I'm going to tell you Chodesh Av of the 23rd year, what do you know?
I was 3 years later.
No, it's right now we're in Nisan of the 50th year. Ah. And in a few months, when it's Av, I'll say it's Av of the 23rd year. So I do not have access to the DeLorean time machine. I'm talking about two different things. This Nisan, I happen to turn 50 this Nisan. And in Av, I'll be celebrating my 23rd wedding anniversary. Right? Two different systems. So how do you know that we're talking about two? In other words, maybe Kislev of the 20th was the 20th year since his high school reunion.
Or 20th year of a different king.
Or 20th year of a different king.
Which is more reasonable.
Well, that doesn't make so much sense because in the pshat of the psukim, you're talking about the same time period. Right? You're talking about this Kislev and then a few months later that Nisan. So the next king would not have had enough times to get 20 years under his belt in just... 4 short months. Right? But maybe it's 20 years of something. And the second pasuk we know is the 20th year of Artaxasta. So the Gemara says, how do you even know we're talking about apples and apples? Elahai, mimai dalachashta, dilma leminyona achrina. Maybe that's talking about some other count. And therefore, you could still say that Rosh Hashanah lemalchei umot olam is from Nisan. So Amar Rav Papa, Shnat Esrim, Shnat Esrim, L'gzera Shava. He says, no, we'll make a Gzera Shava. Like, it can't be that Nehemiah would have been so sloppy. Right? If he said Shnat Esrim, it must be the same set, the same count as the Shnat Esrim mentioned later. Ma hatam l'artach shasta, afalcha l'artach shasta. Right? So now the Gemara says, Umi mai de masek de kislev kodim, dilma masek de nisan kodim. So how do you know the story is told in chronological order? After all, you know, we say, Ramban tells us all the time, Ein Mukdam. I'm sorry. Rashi tells us all the time. Ein Mukdam Mukhar
Bator. But doesn't make a difference.
No, it does make a difference because if you have two facts,
because going the other side of the year,
you have two facts on the ground. You have Nisan of the 20th year, and you have Kislev of the 20th year. So if it's told in order, so then that's definitely good, right? But if they're not told in order, so in other words, first I'm going to tell you about Kislev, and then I'm going to tell you something that happened earlier in the year, right? So it's all in the same year. Lo salka datra de Tanya dvarim sh'amar chanani lenechemya bekislev amran. Now, what happened in... Do you all remember Sefer Nehemiah?
Didn't get there yet in Teshuvah Shtayim Tesha. I'm still not sure.
But Teshuvah Shtayim Tesha is already finished.
Not for me.
Oh, I see. It's worth reading Ezra and Nehemiah.
It is.
So Divrei Nehemiah ben Hakalia vayhi bechodesh kislev shnat esrim vani hayti beshushana bira viyavo chanani echad me'achai, one of my bros, there's a guy named Chanani Who's Hanani? Who Vanashim Yehuda? Right? They were
Judahites.
Meaning they came to Shushan, but they came from Eretz Yisrael. V'eshalam al ha-Yehudim ha-pleita asher nisharu min ha-shevi v'al Yerushalayim. In other words, he meets, it must have been like, I don't know, like in the 50s, when survivors showed up on the east side of Manhattan, where there were, you know, like established Jewish communities. It must have been like, you know, shocking. So there's Nehemiah. He's a pretty well-off, you know, Jew of in Bavel, and the Pleita from Yehuda show up, meaning people who remain behind, who didn't go out into exile, who stayed in Eretz Yisrael. This is an important point to make, which I've said a few times, that from the moment you're learning, you said you're learning Yehoshua. So from the moment that Yehoshua ben Nun crossed the Jordan with the Jewish people 40 years after Yetziat Mitzrayim, which was how long ago?
3,200 about. Yeah.
There has never been a single day that there were no Jews in Eretz Yisrael. Even though there were long periods where there were very few Jews in Eretz Yisrael. But Eretz Yisrael, from the moment Yehoshua crosses the River Jordan,
it's always been wrong.
Eretz Yisrael has never been, pardon the expression, Judenrein. So they were Jew, even after Churban Bayit Rishon and Galut Bavel, there were Jews that remained behind. So some of these Jews show up in Shushan. One of them's name is Hanani. And Hanani tells him, like, what's going on? He's describing the bad physical condition in Eretz Yisrael, right? Particularly how the walls of Yerushalayim have been breached and are in need of repair. So how do you know that the story in Kislev comes before the story in Nisan and not the other way around? Because this story, he learns about the condition in Eretz Yisrael, the story in Kislev. And then what happens in Nisan? The Tanya Dvarim Shu Amar Chanan Kislev Amen? Nechemya Lamelech Benisan Dvarim Shu Amar Chanan Nechemya Bekislev. Nehemar Divrei Nechemya Ben Hakalia Vayhi Bechodesh Kislev Shnat Esrim Vani Haiti Beshushana Bira Viavo Chanani Echad Menarel. This is the Psukkim I just read. Nisharu Min Hashevi. Sham b'medina b'ra'a gdola v'cherpa v'chomat Yerushalayim mifuretzet v'shareha nitzato b'esh. Right, the walls are breached and the gates went up in flame. Amran Nechemya l'melech b'nisan sh'ne'emar v'hi b'chodesh nisan sh'nat esrim l'artach shasta ha'melech yayin lefanav v'asa et hayayin v'etna l'melech v'lo ha'iti ra lefanav v'yomer li ha'melech madua panecha ra'im. So in the following Nisan, he's talking to the king. He's talking to the king. And he serves wine to the king. And the king says, what are you so forbidden? What are you frowning for? So he says, well, I got to tell you, I heard news from Eretz Yisrael. It makes me very sad. So how do you know that the story in Nisan comes after the story in Kislev and not the right? Not, how do you know that the story goes Kislev to Nisan and not Nisan to Kislev?
To hear the news before he could tell.
Yeah, because it couldn't have happened. Chronologically, it couldn't have happened. Right?
To hear it first before he could
tell. Right? No, it's like, you know, like the kids have this. When they learn to write, you know, write a story, they give them the story on these little cards. And you have to organize the story based upon, right? You have to organize the story based upon the cards to show, like, how the story flows. So on one card, it says, Nehemiah hears this bad news from Hanani. And another, it says, the king says to him, what are you upset about? And he says, oh, I just heard bad news from Hanani. So there's only one order that it can go in. Right? So that's how you know that the story goes Kislev to Nisan and not Nisan to Kislev. And since it goes Kislev to Nisan, what do we know?
The year begins in Tishrei.
that, well, okay, that, that the year for Malachim, for Daryavesh, can't have started in Nisan. Right? So when we date our Shtarot in Bavel, so what difference does it make? Remember, this all has to do with the question we started with, in terms of being Mekayim the Shtar.
In other words, you can't predate.
No, in other words, because the problem of predating a Shtar. Right? And it just shows that you have these Dvarim Ha'omdim Berumo Shel Olam of Jewish history, and it all goes back down to Reuven, Len, Shimon, Shnei Zuz. But since in Bavel they continued the practice of dating the Shtarot by the Malachim, they didn't have Jewish kings. So they had to rely, Rachmanos, on the Persian kings.
So do we, by the way, have such a clear pasuk for Jewish kings? Is there anywhere in Tanakh where it mentions...
That's the pasuk of Shlomo and the...
That just says, you know, that we don't have 2 months in the same year. Uh-huh. The pasuk for Shlomo just says, you see, we should count from Nisan. It doesn't...
Anyway, next week there's no shir.
Anyway, okay.